I'm very happy now to welcome George Paz Martin. He is a peace activist. He is the former national co-chair of United for Peace and Justice, and he is a current Green Party leader, a former Black Panther leader, and he will be speaking on Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Unitarian Church here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So you are new in town.
Oh, just here about 6 weeks and glad to be here.
Tell us about some of the work you've done. I mean, you were involved in international peace work as much as anybody around. What's some of the work that's going on that our listeners may not know about?
Well, I'll tell you, I was co-chair of United for Peace and Justice for the last 6 years. And in that role, United for Peace and Justice is our country's largest peace coalition. And so in representing and working internationally, the benefits are tremendous. And I work within the World Social Forum movement and have worked all over the world there, and also within the World Peace Council. And so within the World Social Forum, it gives me the opportunity to work with leaders of peace movements from other countries. And so, for example, in Kenya in 07, I was chosen as spokesperson for 50 peace movements. And we get together and we support each other. We share our struggles, but we come to solidarity around issues. So annually, as we have worked against the war in Iraq and demonstrate nationally here in the U.S., we will have anywhere from 40 to 60 countries demonstrating on those same weekends and working with their governments. And so that's had an effect in terms of other countries stepping away from the coalition within the U.S. around Iraq and Afghanistan.
Now, that's something that I'm always interested in, is because in this country, protest, getting out on the streets and protesting, doesn't seem to have quite the effect that it used to. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but in other countries, it actually changes the government's behavior.
Yes, and you know, and I think, you know, the issue comes up where are the people in the streets as they were during the Vietnam War? You know, and during the Vietnam War, it took 8 years to reach a majority sentiment against war. During this Iraq War, we accomplished that in 4 years. And at the
You accomplished it before the war even started. I mean, there was a huge number of people out on the streets.
February 15th, the New York Times deemed us the second greatest power on earth, aside from the U.S. government. But at the same time, in comparison, we have a lot stronger foe that's more corporately oriented, controlling media. And so I'm glad to have this interview to get out the truth. But, you know, that's the difference between now and then. And within that struggle, we also, you know, have the situation in terms of the U.S. Congress. And, you know, quite frankly, being a black man, I'm very proud to have a black president. But at the same time, I remind people that if Obama wanted to do all that we in the peace movement wanted, it still couldn't happen, because even within the Progressive Democratic Party, not more than half have ever voted against any war bill or against any war budget. So, you know, the task has been there since then, and it's created a more difficult struggle.
I think when people talk about war and peace, there are two separate conversations that need to be brought together. One is a kind of hard wiring in, especially the male half of the human species, that you have to defend your territory and fight and all that kind of thing. And there's this like biological instinct to fight. Then there's a whole other conversation, which is the amount of money and resources and corporate interest that is put into the war machine,
yeah,
which is kind of a self-sustaining organism all by itself.
And I'd like to go back to 9/11. You know, we all mourn the loss of our fellow Americans, but at the same time, it was a criminal act, and it wasn't an act by a country. And at the same time, we attacked Afghanistan, we attacked and occupied Iraq. And as we look back, the American public has come to realize that that was the wrong thing to do. And so here, as we increase the troops in Afghanistan, it's so difficult. And I had the fortune of going to Iraq on a fact-finding mission.
When were you there?
I was there in January 04 for 2 weeks and met with Iraqi civil society and also met with our troops. I have served our troops in terms of PTSD and homelessness for 20 years. And so that's very important to me. And at the same time, what we are doing militarily has not not been the real accomplishment. You know, the surge in Iraq, the success wasn't around our military efforts. It was more around Muqtada al-Sadr calling time out in some form of truce. And so this notion that a surge in Afghanistan is going to do it is really false. And we need to listen. We need to listen to those people in those occupied countries and the people of Afghanistan and the people of Pakistan across religious lines all say that we need to come home. And that's what we work toward. And we need to stop the money that goes into this as we're sitting here in the U.S. closing schools, don't have health care, not taking care of our elderly, and not taking care of our veterans. You know, to date, there have been as many suicides as combat deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Is that right?
Just think about that. It's the notion of war. You know, we look at Vietnam in terms of the combat casualties there. There have been twice as many suicides since then. War is not the answer. And we need to shift that percentage of what's been in military into terms of diplomacy and real nation building and real economics in those countries, and at the same time shift those percentages to take care of our folks right here at home.
Which is completely rational, and probably a great majority of people understand that basic concept, but you're going up against a war machine that has tremendous power in Congress.
And at the same time, a war machine that's, and you compare, you know, Vietnam in terms of what's happening in Iraq, you know, the corporate influence is tremendous. And even, you know, we get down to the reality that the night before the vote for preemptive attack on Iraq, we polled all the congressional offices in Washington, D.C. And it was 100-1 against war. Yet our congressmen voted another way. And we need to really come back to what influences votes. 100-1. We had Georgetown students poll every office in Congress. It was 100-1 in terms of the phone calls, the emails, the faxes of the American citizenry. But yet it was almost completely voted the other way.
So they're not representing us.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, as we look at our Congress
even in the Republican districts?
Yes. Yes. And so as we look at our Congress and even the most progressive element, the progressive caucus of the Democratic Party, you know, it's very clear, put directly to their staff, that the influence of lobbyists, corporate special interests are greater than what the citizens vote. And so, therefore, as I look at the big picture, I have to look at campaign finance reform if we're ever going to change this attitude around war.
So when you are working in the peace movement in the United States, obviously there's this whole movement to get people to do this apparently not very effective action of letting their representatives know what they think. What about actually, how are you doing on campaign finance reform?
Well, you know, that which was put forth by McCain and Feingold a number of years ago, and Senator Russ Feingold, I'm from Wisconsin, happy to be here in Santa Fe, is a friend, but that wasn't true campaign finance reform. And so that element within our citizenry and government really has to change in terms of the influence of I don't want to use the big words of the military industrial complex or corporate military, but at the same time Eisenhower spoke and warned of that right after World War II, and it's a big part of how decisions are made in this country. You know, the other part I want to mention too is that as we talk about the American citizenry, you know, we have not had war in our backyard. And so when we look at how the rest of the world feels and what we see from the rest of the world, it's because they've suffered it within their families. And here we're in a situation of non-human, non-manned drones killing people in other countries so that body bags aren't coming back. We have a lot to change from that standpoint in terms of what we understand and feel.
I think that President Obama probably understands everything that you have just said, and yet here we are going into Afghanistan with great force. What is going on there, in your view?
Well, you know, it's a political situation. It's one that, you know, and a lot of folks don't want to hear this, but we make money off of war, and also it's about controlling resources.
And you think Obama is just kowtowing to those forces that are making money off of war?
Well, I think it comes back down to being reelected in terms of also who's the influence of lobbyists and special interests and corporations. You know, and so within that context, again, you know, the voice of the American public is not heard as well as those from other areas. And that has to do with the decision-making in Congress.
Well, this conversation and much, much more can be had on Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Unitarian Church, which is on the corner of Galisteo and Barcelona. George Pass Martin will be there, and his talk will be titled Working for Peace, U.S. and International Peace Movements. We look forward to seeing you there on Friday.
Thank you so much.